Brothers and sisters, in the previous session, we explored the remarkable physical structure and immense strength of the crocodile, along with the spiritual meanings behind them. God revealed to Job that just by seeing this creature alone, he would find how great and wondrous his wisdom and power are. The crocodile's tough skin, sharp teeth, and tightly interlocking scales show that it is a fearsome creature beyond human control. Through this, God helped Job realize how reckless and impossible it was for him to try to contend with him. God also pointed out how foolish it was for Job to try to open God's door in his own will, reminding him that drawing nearer to God requires the proper attitude and spiritual condition. Today, we will continue to reflect on God's message embedded in the parable of the crocodile. The characteristics of the crocodile described in Job chapter 41 largely symbolize the greatness and majesty of the Creator. In particular, today's message includes many expressions of God's justice and wrath. Please keep in mind that this too is God's love intended to awaken Job. I pray in our Lord's name that each of you will deeply discern God's will embedded in His Word and achieve a heart that is more fitting before Him. 41 verse 18 says, His knees flesh forth light, and His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Here, God described the crocodile's knees as a radiant flesh, where its energy concentrates in its entire body and is released with great force. Likewise, when a person sneezes, air is expelled from the lungs at a speed of up to 160 kilometers an hour. Because there have been pandemics and especially coronavirus. During the pandemic, people coughed a lot. When they sneeze or cough, the germs and viruses in their body came out. And we have also seen videos about that. Coughing isn't just about, but it's actually air is expelled at a speed of about 160 kilometers per hour. In the process, it's not just about saliva coming out, but in the process, several muscles such as diaphragm, abdominal, and chest muscles contract simultaneously and powerfully, causing a temporary rise in blood pressure and a flushed face. Especially elderly people with health issues, once they catch a cold, many problems arise. An elderly person, when they sneeze or cough, they also, his back was hurt, injured. That means sneezing or coughing requires a lot of energy and strength. A sneeze is not merely a simple reflex. It is a physiological defense mechanism in which multiple parts of the body work together to forcefully expel unnecessary foreign substances. Now, imagine this process taking place in a massive creature like the crocodile. Hundreds of kilograms of muscle and internal organs tighten in an instant, and all that energy bursts forth explosively. How intense and overwhelming it must look. God described this very moment so vividly, mentioning He sneezes, flesh first light. He also said, His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. This was This refers to the way the crocodile's eyelids lift, resembling the breaking of dawn. When a crocodile closes and opens his eyes, it doesn't blink quickly like a human does. Instead, it slowly closes its eyes and gradually opens them again. Just as dawn slowly breaks and drives away the darkness, it evokes the image of a new beginning. That's why God says His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning, a metaphor for the moment when a significant event is about to unfold or when something new is beginning. When people look at a crocodile, they wouldn't use such detailed description. It wouldn't, but God had it recorded in the Bible. Ordinary people, He put in a lesson that ordinary people wouldn't describe. And through the crocodile, God was giving Job a lesson. Such words, without interpreting, without God's interpretation, we cannot understand it. I mean, a crocodile is a people wouldn't think of crocodile as cool, awesome, but it has an image of fear and terror. But God, in chapter 41 of Job, God used expressions that we don't even know about, the sneeze or coughing of the crocodile. God was giving Job a lesson, and when crocodiles blink its eyes, it is God used such descriptions to reveal, explain about His majesty and dignity, and He was telling Job what kind of plans He had. Without God interpreting the verses, how could we understand these word verses? We cannot make up those explanations. But as we It's like a new day begins when a long night is over and the morning breaks. Also, there is spiritual meaning here. Even a creature created by God, a crocodile, flashes forth light when it sneezes and its eyes open like the breaking of dawn. How much more wondrous and overwhelming will the works be when the Almighty determines to do something according to His will? You may earlier, God described the frightening look of the crocodile. As He explained that, God was telling Job that if God intends to do something, what is impossible? Job was very wise, and he gained awakening through this message. Through this illustration, Job understood that. Through this, Job came to realize two things. First, Job realized that the suffering and trials he was going through were all within God's providence, and that God is indeed mindful of him. Job realized that
Yes,
God put such power into His creature, but what about me? And as He heard about the second, He sensed that some beginning was approaching, like the breaking of dawn. Until then, Job complained that he would want to go down to Sheol, but when God talked about the crocodile and compared the, at this point, Job realized that God would work. In other words, he was given the insight that God could completely turn his situation around and bring forth another start. You have to be able to find a God's sign. And whenever the shepherd went on a mission trip, like overseas crusade, and when one of his people found a God sign for him, discovered God's sign for him, the shepherd awarded them, and he rejoiced. And he tried to find God's signs or His signal everywhere. And even though God gave a signal, we have to understand what it is, and we have to be thankful. But there are people who cannot discover the signal or sign. God tells us He loves us, and He shows that through signs and wonders and through various ways. While some people discovered His signal and rejoice, others don't. They cannot discover God's signal. We have to figure out God's plan and God's will for us. So, when this church was going through trial, I tried to find God's plan, God's will. And as I saw the unceasing manifestations of God's power through me, when I prayed for people, God worked through my prayer. This is the evidence of God's being with us. This is the evidence that He unceasingly loves us. Without them, how could these works be possible? God, He unceasingly guarantees us through amazing power. Some people even come to receive prayer without enough preparation. At this point, I'm confused. I don't know. I'm hesitant. And I pray for, even so, God sometimes answers my prayer, and I realize that God guarantees my prayer. So why should I fear? What should I be afraid of? What should I be concerned about? Once we discover the God's signal, or God, amen to those signals. In the morning service, I talked about a novice believer, and once you see someone being healed, you have to. And this novice believer, as he began attending church, he also was healed of alcohol addiction, once, but some people consider it a coincidence and don't take them seriously, and they cannot receive an answer and blessings. You should also accept the signals with faith. When God was speaking to Job through the, he talked about the blinking of the crocodile and compared it to the dawning of the, and ultimately, Job became the man of blessing. Just because you are here doesn't mean you will be blessed. You have to listen to the message with amen and a message. Brothers and sisters, we too go through times of trials and tribulations in life. And if some of you are enduring such a season even now, I encourage you to hold on to this word in your heart. If you are under a trial, first thing you have to do is repent of straying from God. But others, even if they try to live by God's word, they discover sins. And if you are facing a trial, even while you are trying to live by the word, some Christians, they listen to the word, but when they step out of the church and on Monday through Friday, they forget about the God's word and they don't even try to do accordingly. We cannot say that they are trying to live by God's word. But even if you are not perfect, if you take delight in praying, take delight in, if a hardship has come, even though you are trying to live according to God's will, then understand that God has begun working to accomplish something in you and discover what it is. For example, if a trial or a problem comes upon your family or yourself, know that there certainly is the providence of God. Those whom God acknowledges as His son or daughters always pray to God, their Father. Some may pray, "Lord, let my soul prosper." Others may pray, "Help me to fulfill my duties well," or "Bless me financially so I can help many people in need and serve your kingdom without a reservation." Then, in order to answer these prayers, God will lead them to prepare a vessel. You pray for your change, but later on, you see someone gossiping about you and you really feel displeased. This is like the evil deep in you are revealed. Such a process is necessary because someone bothers you, you discover yourself truly. While and you pray when someone bothers you or harasses you, and you begin to complain, "God, why are you giving me troubles?" But you have to realize that through that process, God is allowing you to be changed. You discover that you are discovering some person, you are, and you have to discover God's will like that. If someone prays, "Please heal my disease," God may first lead that person to discover the root cause of the illness and repent through trials. If someone prays, "I want to become the CEO of a company so I can support God's kingdom financially," then God will begin to shape and refine that person to be a vessel worthy of that purpose. If the vessel is small, God will enlarge it through trials and refining. If you desire to become a leader who oversees thousands, you must undergo greater trials and training than one leads only hundreds, because it requires such high levels of patience, insight, love, responsibility, and discernment. God will surely allow your trials accordingly. Along with faithfulness, you must also be equipped with wisdom and the ability to carry out the tasks. So, proper training is essential. This way, God allows trials in accordance with our prayer. These trials are the very purpose of these trials are the very process by which He molds us into vessels capable of receiving His blessings. And years ago, I prayed that I would resemble the heart of the prophets. And in peaceful times, you cannot know that you are lacking, you are falling short. But first thing God does is to let you discover yourself, and you have to know your shortcomings so that you can fix them. Through trials, we look at our shortcomings. You can see whether you can embrace more people. God reminds you of that. That's why trials are a blessing. You pray that you want to go to New Jerusalem, then you have to become qualified who entered New Jerusalem in the Bible, and you know what kind of life they led. You know well. And Deacon Stephen, he was stoned to death, and he didn't. Deacon Stephen also interceded for the people who tried to kill him. When in trials or but after you pray, you but if you feel discouraged, if you stop, and if you feel distressed, you are not able to accomplish what you prayed. God is leading and guiding us, but but if anyone says, "Because I don't want to go through trials, I shouldn't dream big or pray," what would God say to that? You realize that people in New Jerusalem have gone through great trials, and they forgave, and they sacrifice themselves. And you may think, once you cannot enter New but during your brief life on this earth, if you refuse to serve others, if you refuse to shatter yourself, if you you don't make suffer a loss, so you have to run towards such everlasting things. you may not like to go through trials, and you, I mean, if someone says, if anyone says, because I don't want to go through trials, I shouldn't dream big or pray, what would God say to that? God said that not praying is also a sin, and He commanded us to pray without ceasing. You may refuse to be used for big purposes, and you refuse to become, then that means you don't have hope for heaven. And if you indeed have faith, how could you desire to remain a small vessel? You would want to become a greater vessel before God and pray every day to be blessed abundantly and glorify Him. Through daily transformation, you should become more powerful and win God's love and recognition. As you pray this way, God begins to refine you so that you can be recognized even in society and reveal His glory. You should not avoid trials. You can become wonderful person through trials. So you have to confess. When necessary, please, God, give me trials. But even after you pray like this, some of you may complain when trials come. So we have to look at trials in a different way because we have listened to the Job lectures on Job. God wants us to become honorable ones even on this earth, and we have to commit ourselves to His hands. When I hope that you learn such a lesson through the lectures of Job. You shouldn't just avoid trials. You have to think of it as a process for God to make you perfect. You have to admit your faults and you have to fix yourself. And at first, Job also did not understand why he had to suffer such hardship. He argued against God with complaints. But when God appeared to him, spoke through various parables, and revealed His will step by step, Job finally began to understand. That understanding led him to repentance and ultimately to restoration and great blessing. The same applies to us. No matter the circumstance, if God's heart is moved toward us, if He is watching us with His blazing eyes, He will work for us anyhow. Therefore, it's important whether He is looking at us, looking at you or not. Even though He focuses on you, He doesn't intervene, especially during trials. And you shouldn't complain, God is not watching over me. God is not taking care of me. You may feel that way during the trials, but if you have strayed from God's word, you may have. So what? But during the trials, you shouldn't be discouraged because God doesn't intervene. But instead, you have to focus on how God would change you. And once you become the fruit of. Therefore, even if you have some problem, you have to long for God to be mindful of you and focus on drawing His attention. God used the wrong method to draw God's attention. Job expected that if he complained, God would listen. But God appeared to him in chapter 41 and explained that all he tried was foolishness. And You have to keep this in mind. The way to draw God's attention should be in the truth, in the light. When you are in trials, if you complain, you make God turn His face from you. But if you stay awake, pray without ceasing, and repent of your faults, God will look at you with eyes of love. Even if
and
God, so therefore we must rely on God all the more with faith. When we look at the Bible, how great were the transformations that took place after ordinary people were called by God. Peter was just an ordinary fisherman casting his nets in the sea. But when Jesus said, "Follow me," Peter immediately left his nets and obeyed. As a result, he became a great apostle of power who led countless souls to God. The same is true for you. You may have once been an ordinary homemaker, a head of household, or a regular employee, but after receiving Jesus Christ, you have become a precious servant in the kingdom of God. You are now serving as a district leaders, cell leaders, or group leaders, being used by God. Through your calling, you labor to save souls. You let people suffering with illness know the God of healing. You give hope to the discouraged and offer strength and courage to the poor and brokenhearted. In doing so, you are opening a new path for them. Could these works be done by medical doctors? Could judges do them? No, only those who are clothed with God's power can do. Though you may appear to be ordinary from a worldly perspective, you've become precious and honorable ones accomplishing great things in faith. Believing that God has called you and is transforming you into precious and blessed people, I challenge you to press on even harder in God's will. As we hear about how the novice believer is healed and receive healing, you are happy. But the person who led these novice believers to church, they must have, like Pastor Dapunsa, after she prayed for them with a handkerchief, and they got healed and they came to church and become and settled in the church. Other people also believe. So how precious such a person who shares the gospel and brings them to church. So I even thought that I have to give some special treatment to Pastor Dapunsa. I was very thankful, and she is taking and bringing people to church and taking good care of them. They listened to the words of life. They didn't hear anywhere else. Without hearing the words of life, they would have lived lives without satisfaction. Some people come to church at age 80. They wanted to die quickly, but after coming to church, they are thankful that they are breathing. Even over age 80, they are grateful and they confess that each and every day is joyful. So we have to bring those people to God. So, how precious are these people who bring people to God?
Mm-hmm.
no matter how rich or wealthy you are, God cherishes those people who share the gospel, and He pays them back with boundless rewards in heaven. Like also there are God-given duties like cameraman and pianist, and you may also people who are dedicating themselves to God's work. If they are working out of love for God, you have, as for me, I used to think that I am lacking. I also thought about that once. If I go out to the world, is there anything I can do? I'm not good at computers. I'm not good at photography, taking pictures or videos. Nowadays, people, I thought that I couldn't do anything out of the world, but with God's power upon me, I can become a precious person as well. I'm a person who testified to God's great power. The same goes for all of us. It's not about your talent, but if you As we continue in the passage, we find a vivid description of the crocodile's astonishing power and might. 41 verses 19 and 20 says, "Out of his mouth go burning torches, sparks of fire leap forth, out of his nostrils smoke goes forth as from a boiling pot and burning rushes." Burning torches going out of his mouth and sparks of the fire leaping forth symbolize the immense force and power contained in the crocodile's jaws. And smoke going forth out of his nostrils represents the crocodile's astonishing energy. He described the sense of tension and overwhelming presence emanating from the crocodile, much like how a person might tremble when overcome with excitement or a surge of anger. And the description, like a boiling pot or like burning reeds, illustrates the crocodile spirit. Through this illustration, God helped Job grasp the crocodile's immense power and terrifying aura more vividly. Brothers and sisters, imagine a person crossing a river alone and encountering such a creature. How terrifying would that be? You may think, you can swim well, and you meet a crocodile, you have to swim very quickly to get out of water. Furthermore, if someone were caught in its jaws, they would suffer pain like being struck by sparks of fire. God was showing Job that even if even a created being like the crocodile holds such power and causes people fear, how dreadful then must the judgment be for a sinner before the all-powerful and righteous judge. In other words, God was enlightening Job on how enraged he was by sin. In the Bible, we find various examples of the punishments sinners received. For instance, when Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go and committed the evil before God, his entire nation suffered the 10 plagues, and in the end, his army was buried in the Red Sea. Likewise, when the kings or queens of Israel persecuted the prophets, God brought them to a tragic end. Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab of northern Israel, not only led the entire nation into idol worship, but also persecuted the prophets of God and even sought to kill prophet Elijah. Consequently, just as Elijah had prophesied, saying, "Dog will devour her body. Jezebel faced a miserable end when God judged the foul house of the Ahab through Jehu. When the Israelites were conquering the land of Canaan, God commanded that all the spoils taken in the battle of Jericho be offered to him. However, when Achan disobeyed God's command and secretly hid gold, silver, and a cloak, a great disaster struck Israel. The city of Ai was smaller than the city of Jericho, but in that battle, they were defeated, and 36 men lost their lives. In the battle of Jericho, none of them were killed. And the size of the two cities are very big. Jericho is much bigger. Even so, they suffered trouble. Eventually, God clearly revealed Achan's sin, and he, along with his family, was stoned to death and burned. In addition, when Moses' sister Miriam spoke against him, God struck her with leprosy. Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, was also afflicted with leprosy when he deceived the prophet of God. In the New Testament, when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, God was enraged. As their souls left, they were not saved. These biblical accounts clearly show that God never overlooks the works of the enemy devil and how deeply he is enraged by sinners and how strictly he judges them. It's the same today. God is righteous and acts according to his will. When he works for good in people's lives, they receive great blessings. But when he is enraged, terrifying judgment follows. Some people leave the church, or even while attending church, they intentionally commit sin, and they will face God's frightening judgment. At first, God gives them a chance to repent. God is patient with them for long, but once they Some people try to avoid God's will. I mean, we know about forgiving God, but we also know about the God of judgment, fearful God. God doesn't just judge anyone. Because people live in darkness, people live in untruth, God have to judge, pass judgment. So, the following verse, chapter 41, verse 21 says, his breath kindles coals and a flame goes forth from its mouth. This is a figurative expression describing when the enraged crocodile exhales with all its might. Its breath is so powerful and it could kindle souls and is terrifying as if a flame was shooting from its mouth. When a person's anger reaches peak, their breathing becomes heavy, their face flushes red, and blood vessels stand out in their eyes, and their whole body trembles. All the more, if a ferocious-looking crocodile were to unleash his fury, it would be terrifying even to stand in his presence. This passage does not merely describe the terror of the creature itself, but teaches us how a sinner must tremble in fear when God's wrath comes, linked with the previous verse. The Bible says, then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth was devouring. Coals were kindled by it. This happens when God is enraged. We must understand that when God stretches out his hand against sinners, the outcome is like this. When we suffer trials because of sin, how distressed we are. On the contrary, when we walk in the truth, how deeply we rejoice in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, whenever we stand at the crossroads of choosing whether to tremble under God's wrath or to dwell in the truth and enjoy peace and joy, may we always choose the latter, to dwell in the truth. When you experience God's wrath, you shouldn't think anything else. You have to surrender to God and thoroughly repent. And so you have to have God look at you with mercy and love. You have to turn from your ways. You have to stop giving excuses, but you have to thoroughly humble yourself. You have to humbly look at yourself and repent, and then God will again look at us with His eyes of mercy and love. The following verse, 41 verse 22 says, In his neck lodges strength, and this may lips before him. This means that the crocodile carries great power in its neck, and whenever it goes, it instills fear and dread. While the crocodile has strength in its neck, the power of God is found in the word of truth. Therefore, when we follow God's word and act in goodness, we receive blessing. But if we follow evil, we cannot escape judgment and destruction. Thus, as the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We must remain ever awake in the truth. Job could not help but feel fear as he listened to God's description of the crocodile. Indeed, no one can stand without fear before the wrath of God. If we do not want to tremble before Him, we must act in righteousness in His eyes. Those who walk righteously before God do not live in fear, but enjoy true happiness and love and peace. And the power to overcome fear is found in perfect love. Some people may live a Christian life with fear, may find God to be fearful. If you dwell in the darkness, if you choose the untruth, you have fear. How? If you have some part of your body is a little bit sick, you are worried that you may have a disease. Some people also look above for fear that some stones or some building materials fall upon their heads. So they are afraid of danger. They are afraid of meeting an accident. We should not live with such fear. Why does such fear come? If you live away from God, live in sins and evil, you have fear and you have God, you find God scary, you find God to be judgmental. But if you, and the power to overcome fear is found in perfect love, the Bible says there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. May you come before God in perfect love without fear. The next passage, chapter 41, verse 23 and 24 says, "The folds of his flesh are joined together, firm on him, and immovable. His heart is as hard as a stone, even as hard as a lower millstone." You know the millstone, the two stones, and once you spin the stone above, and the stone in the bottom does not move. So the bottom stone doesn't move, and if you turn or spin the stone at the top, the grains, crops are grained. This verse expresses how strong and solid the crocodile's body is. When it says, the folds of his flesh are joined together and firm and immovable, it refers to how the crocodile's muscles are tightly bound together and unshakable. And when it says, his heart is as hard as a stone, as hard as a lower millstone, it means that the crocodile's heart is that solid. Spiritually, it signifies that once God has determined his will, he remains as unshakable as a lower millstone. It's important to understand its spiritual meaning. God does not move. He doesn't turn to the left or right. He doesn't act according to his own feelings. God is everlasting. Through this, Job came to a realization, what God has decided concerning me will not change just because I plead with him. It will not be resolved by complaining, lamenting, or arguing with him. Here again, Job learned what he had to do to receive an answer from God. God was refining Job because he wanted him to discover even the deep. But if you don't circumcise your heart but still commit evil, and that doesn't mean the trials for you will be stopped. When we pray to God, he always listens, and God trials does not over until the purpose of the trial is achieved. You have to do what he wants you to do through trials. Until then, trials don't go. Here again, Job learned what he had to do to receive an answer from God. What do you have to do? It is to set our goal correctly and press on toward it without wavering. And through the crocodile, through its teeth, through its skin, we talked a lot about it, and now you have to set the goals right, and you have to run towards it without wavering. Then, brothers and sisters, our God is an unshakable rock. Therefore, his will does not change, and the goal he has established never wavers, regardless of God's nature. Deuteronomy chapter 20, 32, verse 4 says, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, and a God of faithfulness, and without him justice, righteous, and upright is he. We too must become people like a rock, walking unwaveringly on the path of faith to accomplish God's kingdom and his will. Then God will answer us. A person like a rock doesn't become double-minded, turn to the left or to the right, and change his mind according to the circumstances. Such a person, cast off craftiness, clings only to the truth, and unwaveringly presses on with heaven as their goal. God desires that we run this race with faith, strong enough to uphold a word of truth, even in the face of death, until we achieve our goal. Yet, when our faith is weak, even small things may hurt our feelings, cause discouragement, or make us waver. Along the way, we may forget the goals of faith we initially had and end up making foolish choices. That way, we cannot attain eternal life. Therefore, we must always fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, who set an example of faith. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, wherever to save us, Jesus Christ became the unwavering rock. Even as he was mocked and despised on the cross, he didn't waver even a little. Though people shouted, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross," Lord did not waver even a little, but walked the path to the end. Had he responded to those insults and come down from the cross, the providence of redemption wouldn't have been fulfilled. Imagine climbing a mountain. Our faith journey is the same. Those who give up halfway cannot fulfill their goal. What kind of goal do you have in your heart? If you desire to enter heaven and reach New Jerusalem, you must run toward a goal without wavering. To do that, you must fight against sin to the point of shedding blood and resemble the heart of our Lord. For your soul to prosper and to become a beloved child of God, you must pray fervently and live according to His word. When Job had a wrong goal, he also argued with his friends, resented God, and insisted on his own righteousness. He was nothing more than a small-minded man. But once God refined him and set a clear goal for him, Job became a great man, even able to pray for his friends. We too have a clear goal, which is New Jerusalem. So never forget this goal. In all circumstances, I challenge you to stand firm on the unshakable rock and press on to the end in the truth and toward the goal.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.